At the junction of West George Street and Renfield Street, stand on the northwest corner and look at the red sandstone building diagonally opposite you with the restaurant on the ground floor. Tour guide and historian Ronnie Scott joins me to tell its story.
These days, when we think of insurance companies or assurance companies, we very often, it's their logos or their advertising that springs to mind. We don't think of their head office as being representing them. But if we go back a few decades, how do financial services companies represent themselves? If we look at their adverts in the post office directories or other corporate advertising, it's usually the head office that's shown. And there's two things going on there. One is they're saying that these are people of wealth and taste and discrimination. Yes. So they're producing very often very elaborate, large buildings, oppressive buildings. And they're also saying, well, even if we run away with the money, you've still got the building.
There's a sense of security about it.
And banks in general didn't like sharing buildings with people. They didn't like renting a ground floor somewhere. So they tended to develop the whole building and then rent out the upper floors if they weren't of use to them. In this case, we know that the insurance company occupied the whole block. They were relying, if you like, on their building to tell the story of who they were and what they do.
Right.
So to provide assurance, with a small a, that they are an assurance with a large A company. So they want to have an impressive building on a busy corner in Glasgow. Now they're fighting against all three other corners. So they produce a very large red sandstone building with a very dominant tower. Now rather than having the tower go all the way down the building to ground floor level, they allow the building to come to a kind of natural curve at ground floor level where there's a door. And then above that, on corbels or brackets, we have a much bigger tower. It swells out, overshadows the pavement, but of course you can't take up the pavement at ground level. So the building grows as you look up. It's a constrained corner, so it's difficult to get a good look at the building. But if we are diagonally opposite, we can stand back and look across at it. And what we see is, first of all, from the point of view of the architecture, is a reasonably simple, classical frame in terms of where the walls are, where the windows are, everything else. Nothing particularly outrageous about the dominant form of it. But when we come to look at the sculpture scheme, we're off in a different world altogether.
Absolutely. The sculpture scheme is very interesting.
How do we illustrate the Sun Life Assurance Company? How do we illustrate the sun? We do it through mythology. We look through history to see what other cultures, particularly the classical cultures of Greece and Rome, how have they personified the idea of the sun, the idea of light, and what meanings did they give to the idea of the sun and light? So we see at various points in the building, Aurora, at the very apex of the building, right in front of the dome. Now she is the Roman goddess of the dawn. After darkness, light is coming up, something everybody welcomes. So that's helping us to feel nice things about the company. She's in classical garb, and she has two wild horses on either side of her. And the horses, the hooves, are overlapping the roof. So if we were standing at the front door looking straight up, we'd see horses looking as if they're leaping from the roof of this building. Very dramatic corner piece. It's not a static building at all.
Yes, quite.
And if we look around the building, we see the rhythm of the day and the night and the light and the darkness. One of the rhythms that we relate to is the daily rhythm of light and darkness. We can see two figures. We can see a figure representing night, a naked classical figure, pulling a hood over his head.
These are both on the broken pediment on the Renfield Street elevation of the building.
And next to that, we have a woman representing day or morning, and she is taking a hood away from her face. And both of these figures owe a slight debt to Michelangelo.
It's an interesting point, though, because Glaswegians tended to have a predilection for Michelangelo-esque sculptures. You find that on quite a lot of buildings in Glasgow, but that's not something ordinarily with cities in the UK. You were influenced by a metropolitan taste, but that is not something that came from London. That seems to be something that Glaswegians honed in on. You know, other aspects of the building that really strike me as very interesting, this is notionally a William Leeper building, but William Leeper, who's a great kind of Helensburgh-based architect, ordinarily did domestic work, but only has a handful of commercial buildings in Glasgow, with Templeton's Carpet Factory being the other one, and then this. But it was the two people who were the actual draftsmen on the building that are what interests me, because it was William James Anderson, who was the chief draftsman. He was a really scholarly architect and really knew his stuff, and he was training up James Salmon Jr. at the time. So the two of them worked on this building, which is quite interesting too. So it's links to all of these other kind of Glasgow buildings.
So it takes us towards the Glasgow style. So we have the daily rhythm, as we said, of night and day. We also see that the monthly rhythm of night and dark expressed through the signs of the zodiac. And if we look towards other planetary rhythms, we see Jupiter, Uranus, Mars, Venus, Mercury and Saturn on roundels on the second floor. On the fourth floor, we have the Sun and two other planets. So we're seeing this amazing representation using classical mythology to remind us that the company is called the Sun Insurance Company. Yes. Here's a company differentiating itself in the market, giving itself a personality, a brand, through connecting with the eternal values expressed in classical sculpture.